So continuing with team utilization, let me show you this graph as a means of productivity. So you have upscale in productivity happening here, and then it seems to plateau or taper off out here. And then you're seeing that beyond this, there is diminishing productivity actually happening. So if you tabulate productivity in this manner, you are actually going by the realistic utilization and you're not simply going by the total hours. So different organizations have different models, different formats, different ways, but bottom line, all companies are interested in productivity and utilization and are not willing to pay for any time spent on them where productivity was not done, where productivity was not generated, where utilization did not happen, especially in the case of companies which are billing time. So various data and formats are going to be used with the end result being the same. We want to see what the utilization is and we are going to remunerate you based on utilization. So utilization is an important metric, but actually it is not simply that, it is much more than that. Companies conduct capacity planning far more effectively than they would otherwise because they have aggregate granular data on how effectively certain resources deliver and how effectively they are utilized. So even for the internal planning, internal budgeting, it is important that they have data on utilization, not just for the software consulting firm, but it is also for the client to whom the consulting project is being carried out, because this goes in as part of everyone's planning, everyone's strategy. Everyone needs to have a better fix on how this profitability is being generated, how the meaningful productivity is generating, and how the payments and revenues are being justified versus the cost and the leakage points. Now, what is utilization used for? It makes project human resource management much easier in the long run because I get an idea of how my certain resources work, what kind of utilization they work at, what is the percentage utilization they give, which skill set gives me a higher percentage utilization versus a lower percentage utilization, what is the development or training need which actually enhances a certain utilization. So I have this set of employees, I put them through a certain developmental course, I put them through a certain training need, and when I actually measured the measurables from the delivery of this training, I saw that the people who underwent this training, the utilization rates there went up by 20% versus the utilization rates of those employees that did not undergo this training. So it actually is a very important factor in terms of all organizations taking care of their human resource management in the long run and reducing the risk of individuals with incorrect skills being staffed. So as I said, if I'm clearly seeing that there is a certain skill set which is generating very low utilization percentage, then I have caught a flaw in my resource allocation, right? I assigned a team member with a certain skill set to this project and the utilization is only 30%. I gave him training, the utilization went up to maybe 50%. There is another category of employee with a different skill set, and when I assigned him to this project, straight away at the start itself, I was working with an 80% utilization. So if I call the first employee with 30% utilization employee A, and if I call the second employee employee B who gave me 80% utilization from day one, then clearly there was a flaw in my resource allocation when I assigned employee A to this project. Even with training, which involves costs, which involves effort, I'm only being able to take up his utilization from 30 to 50%, whereas there is someone else who's hitting the ground running with 80%. So clearly it helps me to reduce the risk of mismatching skills to projects. Clearly then I will be at a loss if I have not understood this whole data and this whole information about utilization and assessed it properly. And it reduces the reliance on outside resources and keeps the client happier. So if I am not being able to generate a good utilization, then I'll probably have to assign two resources to the same project. Or I may have to say that I need to go and get an outside vendor because in-house I lack the capacity. Whereas all I need to do is realize that employee A is not suited for this project. In terms of utilization, it is employee B who is suited to this project. And if from day one I assign employee B to this project, or very early on I realize that assigning employee A was a mistake, let me assign employee B, and I make this change soon enough, then my client, who is the person who's eventually going to pay me for those productive, well-utilized hours, is going to be that much happier, and it is going to be a good balance between the project consultant and the client. Now, there are certain ways in which we can improve team utilization. How can we do that? So first of all, we implement some form of time recording. This is the most basic requirement versus knowing someone went in, was assigned to this project for 90 days, went and worked on this project, delivered, gave me a positive outcome after 90 days. How do I know whether all this project required was 10 days work or actually 90 days work? So, my client is not going to sit and pay me for 90 days work just because I assigned a resource for 90 days when actually all that that project required was 10 days work. And then there is going to be a conflict at the time of payment where the customer will say, I cannot justify paying you 90 days. We saw how much work happened and in 10 days he was over and done and gone. So, it is very important at a very, very basic level to have some form of time recording. And time recording in terms of not just the total hours spent, time recording in terms of the actual hours spent, where they were spent, how they were spent, what was generated, which we keep repeating, where and how and at what location. And you define the various variables which come in, things which are taking things off tangent, various other factors and variables which come in. As a collation, you give an informed report of the time recording, and you can use various models also, aids also for that. But this would be a very, very basic book that you would need to keep, that any client would expect a good consultant firm to keep. Most of them would have it on the system, on some software system, where in a very systematic way, this is actually being logged and the descriptions are also being fed in out there. Next, you can improve your planning. In improving your planning, a very key thing which we touched upon recently is that you are taking the skill set. You are understanding whether you are assigning the desired skill set to the desired project or not. Because if you're not assigning the desired skill set, then you have a lower utilization. So if you have better planning, as we discussed in the staff planning stage, if you have better planning, then because of that better planning, you are assigning the appropriate skill set. Or if you have erroneously assigned the wrong skill set or the inappropriate skill set to this project, then you can change and reverse, and you can remove the inappropriate team person and assign, maybe put him to a project which is better suited to him, and reassign a new resource who is actually better at delivering what is needed for this project. So your planning becomes very important because you know how much time needs to, what skill set is required, how much time is needed, what is the kind of utilization, and which will help you to best give a most projects work, fee-based projects work on a pre-decided sense of billing as well. Pre-decided amount of billing, percentage of billing, etc. So this kind of planning will also help you give a better estimate of your billing. Eventually you will have actual billing, but that actual billing will have a foundation of some sort of estimates provided in advance. So that advance estimates will not vary too much or phenomenally from your final billing if you are better prepared and planned, and that will also make your team, your client happier. Then also, if you have constant communication happening with across the locations, across the various teams in terms of the various stages of a project, then they will also, the team being updated on the project progress will also help, because someone may actually be in a position to move on to a different role. There are resources who move across roles. There are resources who are always hard pressed and difficult to find. There are resources who are always in demand. So if you keep everyone updated on the stage to which the finalization or delivery has reached, it's possible that a very key resource who has managed to play his part of utilization in that project can now say, my part is done. I have done the most important thing. I have laid the foundation. Now someone else can take over, and you can move this key resource to another very key project where a higher revenue can be generated, where a higher utilization is required. So the movement across projects will be easier if everyone is kept updated on project progress and key resources are managed optimally in this way, because there will always be certain few resources in an organization who have for whom there are multiple demands from across projects and across locations. Managing customers' expectation. Now, as I said, when you start out on any assignment between a consultant and a customer, there are certain anticipation of delivery, there is certain anticipation of billing, and based on that you proceed. Now, it is obviously, things are dynamic. You are working based on estimates. As we saw in an earlier chapter, estimation is a best effort thing. There are risks involved, there are uncertainties involved, and you cannot always say that you will be 100% accurate. So if you see changing deliverables, changing costs, changing time constraints, then you will also have to effectively communicate these to the customer that, look, this is the arrangement we started out at the start, but now with the realization that this new factor has come in, or this new parameter has come in, the costing is higher. It is revised to this, or the deliverable that we had indicated to you will happen in 2 weeks given these parameters. Now you see in an informed way that this is not working out. So the deliverable will not be possible prior to a month. You have to respect that, you have to service that. Now, if a customer is not willing to agree at all, we started out, we said 2 weeks, this was the costing, now you're telling me it'll take 1 month and this is the higher costing, rubbish, the deal is off. Then there is a huge conflict, legal aspects come into the picture, everything goes out of the window. So if there is genuinely a case for changing parameters, changing time frame, changing costing, then you, based on utilizations, based on effective utilizations, then you have to manage that customer expectation as much as possible. And of course, you have to encourage collaboration across your teams, across your outside vendors who have to supply to you, across your customers. So various parties all have to be in buy into this project. Finally, employee satisfaction. If you have able consultants sitting idle for very long, even though they may not be the ones suffering monetarily because they are still drawing a salary, it may be the organization suffering monetarily because there is a cost of salary but there is no fee income coming in because the consultant is not assigned to a project, yet the consultant will have very low job satisfaction. There will be lack of self-worth, they will be demotivated, there will be lack of growth. What do they have to show in their CV? How are they going to be appraised and move to the next salary bracket? How are their bonuses going to come in? And how is the knowledge enhancement going to happen? So if your employees are not satisfied either by wrongful allocation of project or purely because they're sitting idle, you could again have high turnover, you could have productivity going down, you could have self-esteem going down significantly. So addressing some of these issues could be key steps in ways to improve your team utilization. So moving into the final segment of this chapter, where we are talking about rewards and recognition. As we've already discussed in the previous chapter, when we were talking about motivation, when we were talking about project managers being sensitive and smart leaders and motivators, clearly we spoke about reward of appreciation, reward of a job well done, and reward being a higher motivating factor than fear of punishment. So clearly we established all the positive theories that focused more on reward for appreciation, whether that was monetary or non-monetary, were in a better position to get an employee to perform to the best of his abilities versus working on his fear of punishment. Having established that, let us again focus on how rewards can really go towards increasing and improving utilization and play their part in the utilization. Rewards and recognition to project resources who have worked on successful projects is accepted as good practice in the workforce. Another thing to keep in mind is that it should be equitable. There should not be a disproportionately high reward for one person, a lower reward for someone else. If there is a reward, it should be fair, it should be transparent, it should be equitable. Another important factor that people forget is that it should be timely. So if I have performed very well today, there should be a timely and speedy recognition of that. 1 year later, people have forgotten about it. Even if you give me that reward 1 year later, the impact of my enthusiasm and the need for appreciation is already, I have already been hit by demotivation because someone has waited 1 year to reward me. Also, other people's memory in terms of, okay, why is this person being rewarded? What is he being appreciated for, recognized for? Oh, okay, last year that happened. Since then, nothing has happened. So the impact of the recognition or reward is diluted if the reward is coming way after the actual outperformance that has been done. So rewards are very good. They could be monetary in terms of incentives. They could be by way of a handwritten note from the CEO. They could be by a sponsored meal. They could be in terms of, you know, growth, promotion, but they should be timely and they should be equitable. They should not be seen as ill-distributed or biased. And it is important to consider that employee recognition on project completion to both organization and the employee, and the reward and recognition should be showcased across the organization. So one thing is my individual as a team player who has outperformed, one thing is my individual need for financial growth, for recognition, for receiving a reward, for receiving a handwritten note. One thing is also your motivation because of affiliation that we spoke of. So if I see that other people have also been informed about this excellent work that I did and this recognition that I have received, then I will feel appreciated and respected by everyone else as well, which is a huge motivational factor, which would lead to a higher utilization for me in future because I'm a much more motivated employee now. So it is very important. Recognition can come by way of a resource being provided, a shadow or a backup resource. Now we have to keep in mind that teams work with very limited resources. Project managers and project management teams try to maximize capacity utilization with the minimum number of resources. Now, if I have performed very well and I am being groomed for a promotion and I am being groomed for a better post or for higher responsibility within the same segment, and as a recognition and a reward, I am provided a shadow resource or a backup resource. While that is a huge bonus and a reward for me that I am considered important enough to get a shadow or a backup resource because people realize what I'm working on is so important and what I'm generating is so important and useful that someone else can also very well contribute to it and help me to enhance my productivity. At the same time, it also provides a growth opportunity to this shadow or backup resource who is learning from this outperforming resource. So these various dynamics also have to be kept in place when we're talking about rewards and recognitions. And people are motivated if they feel they are valued in the same organization, and this value is demonstrated by rewards given to them. So again, we are talking about this value, the positive side of all the motivational theories that we saw, which focused on the need for appreciation, working for appreciation and for job satisfaction and for personal growth more than working because of fear and out of the negatives where someone has to crack a whip. So most team members are motivated by an opportunity to grow, higher responsibility. Everyone else is seeing my finesse. Everyone else is seeing my prowess. So they are tomorrow going to consider me for a higher responsibility if I am publicly rewarded and recognized for this endeavor. So reward and recognition goes significantly towards improving anyone's utilization. Some organizations have something like, if an employee outperforms in a certain team, now it may not be bonus time, it may not be a time for a monetary reward, but the CEO gets a special lunch for that person. Now that's a very personal touch, but it also makes someone feel very special. So something, a gesture like that. So you could have various forms in which rewards can be handed out, recognition can be handed out, but bottom line, it goes towards making an employee feel exceedingly valued. Let me focus on this word here, exceedingly valued. And pushes that employee to deliver at a higher utilization. Also, what it does is for all the other employees who are observing this employee who is being recognized and lauded, it is a huge motivating factor for all the other employees to see this team member as a role model and an inspiring figure that, oh wow, this person is being valued, this person is being rewarded, this person is being recognized. I too want to do that, so let me outperform, and if I work at a higher utilization in a more productive manner, then I could also be in that position. So it goes towards motivating and pushing other people also to perform to the best of their capacity utilizations. And a good strategy for project management is to team all possible recognition during the life cycle. So again, this is going back to the timely recognition of the project. So if I worked on a project from April 2015 till September 2015, outperformed, and I received a recognition for it only in April 2016, after the end of the financial year, and 6 months after the end of the project life cycle, the impact of it may be lost. One, because people's memory, as I said, is short. Secondly, the 10 people from the project team who were together standing, lauding, applauding, and who were cheering the success of this project have scattered, gone back to their various departments, which could be across various locations, across various countries. And now it's going to be even creating awareness that I have been recognized for this among these 10 or 15 people is a challenge. So do I individually pick up the phone and call all of them, which most people will find cheesy and not want to do? So if you do it within the project life cycle, then the impact is maximum because there is a direct correlation to the good performance and productivity that you have generated, and there is a direct feeling of being valued, and it is not something that left you demotivated that look, there has not been any appreciation. It comes much later where the connectivity and connection is lost a little bit. So to summarize this, rewards and recognitions are difficult to get right at times. It's a very sensitive balance. How do I make sure it is not disproportionately high, disproportionately low? How do I make it transparent? How do I not lead to dissatisfaction from someone who feels he or she too deserved this reward and has not received it? How do I make sure that it doesn't backfire in terms of an employee assuming a certain reward? For example, there was a case where if an employee outperformed, then a lunch was sponsored for them. And at times when some employees chose not to take that sponsored lunch, they actually asked whether they could ask request the monetary reimbursement for that lunch that they did not avail. Now that's an ill practice, wanting to a reimbursement for a gesture which was being extended to you. Likewise, how do you get the timeliness factor right as far as the reward is concerned? So it is difficult to get the rewards right, but it would be very good if a project manager manages to strike a fairly good balance in terms of getting it right and appropriate, and make the project selection equitable, consider the overall impact of people on the project and its periphery, and ensure that the rewards and recognition process is set appropriately and during the course of the life cycle of the project. And all of these things would definitely go towards adding to motivation and hence leading to higher productivity and higher utilization by employees who are assigned to the appropriate projects. Thank you.